Open your Bibles tonight to Galatians chapter 3. As you're turning, I invite you to come again with me to Calvary. Come again and gaze through the ears of your listening, the eyes of your hearing, to that place of passion. Come with me again and learn through the looking of your listening. Come with me then to Gethsemane, that place of praying and betraying. Listen. Listen to his pleading. Watch with me 1 hour. Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Sleep on now. Listen to his praying. Father, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Listen to his passion. And he shed, as it were, great drops of blood. Hear them. Listen to them. For each one whispers for you. Listen to his power. Who are you seeking? I am he. And as though dead, they all fall backward to the ground before the eternal, self-existent. Listen to his peace. Put away your sword. For he who lives by the sword shall die by the sword. Shall I avoid this hour? No. But for this hour I have come. Oh, come. Come to Gethsemane. Come. Come further and come with me to Gabbatha. Come, come and listen. Come to this place of judgment. Oh, listen. Hear his silence when accused. Hear his testimony to the truth when accused of lying. Hear his authority when threatened. Hear his silence when tormented. His beard plucked and his blood shed. His back is torn and his blood is showered. His brow is pierced and his blood is spilt. Listen. Listen, for each drop cries for you. Oh, come further then. Leave Gethsemane and leave Gabbatha and come now to Golgotha. Leave the place of praying and leave the place of judging and come now to the place of dying. Come and listen. Hear the treachery, the mocking crowd, the scorning leaders, the slanderous thieves. Hear the torment, the pounding nails, the parching thirst, the dislocating joints, the labored breathing, the stretching sinew, the burning lungs, and the bursting heart. Hear him. Father, forgive. Woman, behold your son. Today you'll be with me in paradise. I thirst. Tetelestai, it is finished. Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. And he breathed out his last to speak no more. Listen. Listen to each drop of blood that was spilt as the nails ripped and as the spear pierced. For each one cries for you. God said it this way. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief. When his soul makes an offering for guilt, he shall see his offspring. He shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Out of the anguish of his soul, he shall see and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous, and he shall bear their iniquity. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the many, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he bore the sin of many and makes intercession for the transgressors. He did it all for you. Tonight, as we come again to grasp the significance of the cross in life, and we explore its many delights by considering who we are because of who He was, we have seen that we are in Christ, and that in Christ we are justified. Oh, but tonight I want us to hear God's glorious declaration that I am adopted. 1 John 3 says, see what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Beloved, we are God's children now. And what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, because we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself even as He is pure. Come now to Galatians chapter 3 and begin with me in verse 25. Paul, writing to the churches at Galatia that were struggling with leaving their faith in Christ, abandoning their solid ground of Calvary and going back to their legalistic works and dependence upon their own righteousness. He writes this to them in verse 25. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian, for in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. Do you hear it? I am in Christ, and in Christ I am a son of God through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is no male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to promise. I mean that the heir, as long as he is a child, is no different from a slave, though he is the owner of everything. But he's under guardians and managers until the date set by his father. In the same way, we also, when we were children, were enslaved to the elementary principles of the world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. Oh, tonight, as we explore, because of Calvary, who we are, we must understand the glorious truth of adoption. For adoption is the greatest privilege of grace. Oh, contemplate it tonight in light of the love of God. For that's what 1 John 3 told us. that it's adoption that comes because of the love of God. Think of the love of God, for it is without cause. It is without beginning. It is without condition. It is without change. It is without end. It is free. It is indiscriminate. It is indestructible. And it, by God's grace, is inexhaustible. My friend, tonight as we come to Calvary, hear this. You are loved. If the climax of God's love is our redemption by Christ, then the apex of God's love is our adoption into the family of God. Oh, think of it. By birth, we are all sons of Adam, fallen, depraved, and spiritually dead. By our deeds, we show ourselves to be the children of the devil, sinful, deceitful, and wicked. By nature, we are declared all to be the children of wrath. Oh, but by grace and through love, we who believe are declared to be the sons of God. Sons we are through God's election, who in Jesus Christ believe. By eternal destination, sovereign grace we here receive. Every fallen soul by sinning merits everlasting pain. But thy love without beginning has restored thy sons again. Pause, my soul, adore and wonder. Ask, oh, why such love to me? Grace hath put me in the number of the Savior's family. When it comes to spiritual adoption, God has pardoned us by forgiving us of our sins. Oh, but he didn't stop there. He has clothed us in the perfect righteousness of his Son. And then he adopts us into his family. In Ephesians 1, 4 and 5, Paul tells us that this was God's plan from the beginning. It wasn't merely to give us another chance. It wasn't merely to give us a gospel dose of antibiotic. It wasn't just to give us a spiritual shot in the arm of vitamins. His plan was not to give us a ticket from eternal torment. It was rather to buy us from the slave market of sin and redemption, to justify us from the just penalty for our sin, and to adopt us to be his very own children. Justification then secures our legal relationship with God as judge. You see, in justification, he comes to us and he finds us as sinners and he makes us saints. But adoption secures our family relationship with God as Father. He comes to us and he finds us as slaves and he makes us sons. Through adoption, God makes us his children. And while we distinguish the two, remember, they cannot be separated. They always go together in God's actions toward us. Adoption cannot occur apart from justification. And justification always results in adoption. And so tonight, as we think about adoption, I want us to think of four truths. First of all, think of the cause of our adoption. Why? Why has God adopted me? Why? Why would God want me and his family? No reason can be found in all the Bible for God's adoption of me as a sinner, except for his eternal love. Ephesians 1 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace with which he has blessed us in the Beloved. Did you hear the words of Galatians chapter 4? No longer a slave, but a son. The cause is not my goodness, not my greatness, not my beauty nor my talent, not my worth nor my ability. Not that I have the ability to find favor or to purchase it. The cause is not found in me at all. It is found in Him who loved without cause and who will love without ceasing. Oh, if you're here tonight, no matter what depths of sin and mar and muck you might find yourself in, and as you look into your own soul and there find an empty chasm, hear me, do not search there for reason why He should adopt you. Look to heaven and find reason in Him. He doesn't love you because you're lovely. Because He loves you, He will make you lovely. Oh, then we must ask, what then the catalyst for our adoption? By what power do sinners become the sons of God? Man by nature is at enmity against God. He cannot become one of the sons of God because he chooses to be one. The preacher has no power to make men the sons of God. The church has no power to make men the sons of God. You certainly do not have the power to make yourself a child of God, either by your works or by your choosing. The only power that can translate a sinner to a son from the family of Adam into the family of God is the power of God alone. Adoption is God's work. You cannot become a child of God but by the power and grace of God. You see, the cross, and the cross alone, is the catalyst for redemption. It is by the power of the gospel that we are granted the authority, the right, the privilege to be called the sons of God. Oh, tonight as we gather around the table, remember that the cause of your adoption is because He loved you, and He will never stop loving you. And if tonight, if you wonder, is it possible? Is there ability? Look again to heaven and find that the catalyst of adoption is none other than the omnipotence of Almighty God. And He said, I will make you my. Gentlemen, if you're prepared tonight, let's worship God through our offering. Men, will you come and receive the offering? Let's pray. Oh God, as we've contemplated Calvary, Gethsemane, Gabbatha, Golgotha, our human minds wonder at the senselessness of the torment, at the purposelessness of the rejection, at the pointlessness of the mocking. But oh, tonight, as we look through the lens of our adoption, help us to see there is point and there is purpose and there is power. For it was in your rejection of your Son that you made the acceptance of us as sons possible. He was the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world for us. Oh God, tonight, help us to see ourselves as adopted. As we come to this offering, God, may our worship not cease but increase. May the demands of duty be forgotten and the delights of worship be embraced as we give, as you have first. Open your Bibles tonight to Galatians chapter 3. As you're turning, I invite you to come again with me to Calvary. Come again and gaze through the ears of your listening, the eyes of your hearing, to that place of passion. Come with me again and learn through the looking of your listening. Come with me then to Gethsemane, that place of praying and betraying. Listen. Listen to his pleading. Watch with me 1 hour. Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Sleep on now. Listen to his praying. Father, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Listen to his passion. And he shed, as it were, great drops of blood. Hear them. Listen to them. For each one whispers for you. Listen to his power. Who are you seeking? I am he. And as though dead, they all fall backward to the ground before the eternal, self-existent one. Listen to his peace. Put away your sword. For he who lives by the sword shall die by the sword. Shall I avoid this hour? No! But for this hour I have come. Oh, come. Come to Gethsemane. Come. Come further and come with me to Gabbatha. Come. Come and listen. Come to this place of judgment. Oh, listen. Hear his silence when accused. Hear his testimony to the truth when accused of lying. Hear his authority when threatened. Hear his silence when tormented. His beard plucked and his blood shed. His back is torn and his blood is showered. His brow is pierced and his blood is spilt. Listen. Listen for each drop cry. For you. Oh, come further then. Leave Gethsemane and leave Gabbatha and come now to Golgotha. Leave the place of praying and leave the place of judging and come now to the place of dying. Come and listen. Hear the treachery, the mocking crowd, the scorning leaders, the slanderous thieves. Hear the torment, the pounding nails, the parching thirst, the dislocating joints, the labored breathing, the stretching sinew, the burning lungs, and the bursting heart. Hear him. Father, forgive. Woman, behold your son. Today you'll be with me in paradise. I thirst. Tetelestai, it is finished. Father, into thy hand I commit my spirit. And he breathed out his last to speak no more. Listen. Listen to each drop of blood that was spilt as the nails ripped and as the spear pierced. For each one cries, for you! God said it this way. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief. When his soul makes an offering for guilt, he shall see his offspring. He shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Out of the anguish of his soul, he shall see and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous, and he shall bear their iniquity. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the many, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he bore the sin of many and makes intercession for the transgressors. He did it all for you. Tonight, as we come again to grasp the significance of the cross in life, and we explore its many delights by considering who we are because of who he was, we have seen that we are in Christ, and that in Christ we are justified. Oh, but tonight I want us to hear God's glorious declaration that I am adopted. 1 John 3 says, "See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God." And so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now. And what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure. Come now to Galatians chapter 3 and begin with me in verse 25. Paul, writing to the churches at Galatia that were struggling with leaving their faith in Christ, abandoning their solid ground of Calvary and going back to their legalistic works and dependence upon their own righteousness, he writes this to them in verse 25. "But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian, for in Christ Jesus you are all sons of God through faith." Do you hear it? "I am in Christ, and in Christ I am a son of God through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is no male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abram's offspring, heirs according to promise. I mean that the heir, as long as he is a child, is no different from a slave, though he is the owner of everything. But he's under guardians and managers until the date set by his father. In the same way, we also, when we were children, were enslaved to the elementary principles of the world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, 'Abba, Father.' So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God." Oh, tonight, as we explore, because of Calvary, who we are, we must understand the glorious truth of adoption, for adoption is the greatest privilege of grace. Oh, contemplate it tonight in light of the love of God. For that's what 1 John 3 told us, that it's adoption that comes because of the love of God. Think of the love of God, for it is without cause, it is without beginning, it is without condition, it is without change, it is without end, it is free, it is indiscriminate, it is indestructible, and it, by God's grace, is inexhaustible. My friend, tonight as we come to Calvary, hear this: you are loved. And if the climax of God's love is our redemption by Christ, then the apex of God's love is our adoption into the family of God. Oh, think of it. By birth, we are all sons of Adam, fallen, depraved, and spiritually dead. By our deeds, we show ourselves to be the children of the devil, sinful, deceitful, and wicked. By nature, we are declared all to be the children of wrath. Oh, but by grace and through love, we who believe are declared to be the sons of God. Sons we are through God's election, who in Jesus Christ believe. By eternal destination, sovereign grace we here receive. Every fallen soul by sinning merits everlasting pain. But thy love without beginning has restored thy sons again. Pause, my soul, adore and wonder. Ask, oh, why such love to me? Grace hath put me in the number of the Savior's family. When it comes to spiritual adoption, God has pardoned us by forgiving us of our sins. Oh, but he didn't stop there. He has clothed us in the perfect righteousness of his Son. And then he adopts us into his family. In Ephesians 1, 4 and 5, Paul tells us that this was God's plan from the beginning. It wasn't merely to give us another chance. It wasn't merely to give us a gospel dose of antibiotic. It wasn't just to give us a spiritual shot in the arm of vitamins. His plan was not to give us a ticket from eternal torment. It was rather to buy us from the slave market of sin and redemption, to justify us from the just penalty for our sin, and to adopt us to be his very own children. Justification then secures our legal relationship with God as judge. You see, in justification, he comes to us and he finds us as sinners and he makes us saints. But adoption secures our family relationship with God as Father. He comes to us and he finds us as slaves and he makes us sons. Through adoption, God makes us his children. And while we distinguish the two, remember, they cannot be separated. They always go together in God's actions toward us. Adoption cannot occur apart from justification. And justification always results in adoption. And so tonight, as we think about adoption, I want us to think of four truths. First of all, think of the cause of our adoption. Why? Why has God adopted me? Why? Why would God want me and his family? No reason can be found in all the Bible for God's adoption of me as a sinner, except for his eternal love. Ephesians 1 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved." Did you hear the words of Galatians chapter 4? No longer a slave, but a son. The cause is not my goodness, not my greatness, not my beauty, nor my talent, not my worth, nor my ability. Not that I have the ability to find favor or to purchase it. The cause is not found in me at all. It is found in him who loved without cause and who will love without ceasing. Oh, if you're here tonight, no matter what depths of sin and mar and muck you might find yourself in, and as you look into your own soul and there find an empty chasm, hear me, do not search there for reason why He should adopt you. Look to heaven and find reason in Him. He doesn't love you because you're lovely. Because He loves you, He will make you lovely. Oh, then we must ask, what then the catalyst for our adoption? By what power do sinners become the sons of God? Man by nature is at enmity against God. He cannot become one of the sons of God because he chooses to be one. The preacher has no power to make men the sons of God. The church has no power to make men the sons of God. You certainly do not have the power to make yourself a child of God, either by your works or by your choosing. The only power that can translate a sinner to a son from the family of Adam into the family of God is the power of God alone. Adoption is God's work. You cannot become a child of God, but by the power and grace of God. You see, the cross, and the cross alone, is the catalyst for redemption. It is by the power of the gospel that we are granted the authority, the right, the privilege to be called the sons of God. Oh, tonight as we gather around the table, remember that the cause of your adoption is because He loved you, and He will never stop loving you. And if tonight, if you wonder, is it possible? Is there ability? Look again to heaven and find that the catalyst of adoption is none other than the omnipotence of Almighty God. And He said, I will make you my. Gentlemen, if you're prepared tonight, let's worship God through our offering. Men, will you come and receive the offering? Let's pray. Oh God, as we've contemplated Calvary, Gethsemane, Gabbatha, Golgotha, our human minds wonder at the senselessness of the torment, at the purposelessness of the rejection, at the pointlessness of the mocking. But oh, tonight, as we look through the lens of our adoption, help us to see there is point and there is purpose and there is power. For it was in your rejection of your Son that you made the acceptance of us as sons possible. He was the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world for us. Oh God, tonight, help us to see ourselves as adopted. As we come to this offering, God, may our worship not cease but increase. May the demands of duty be forgotten, and the delights of worship be embraced as we give, as you have first.